How many times have you looked at the sun and wondered how far away it is? This is Herb Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. How many times have you looked at the sun and wondered how far away it is? Well, I have a secret that has never been revealed, and I'm going to reveal it to you tonight. And the secret is this. The sun is not away, because every sunbeam carries all that the sun is in it, on it, through it, about it. Now you say, well, it comes through the atmosphere here and thereby loses certain qualities. No, it doesn't. The qualities of the sun are never lost. The qualities of the sun are eternal. The qualities of the sun can never be changed by distance, time or space, by atmospheres through which it flows. It is always absolutely pure, perfect, and ideal. Now let me add to that. The quality of light is never changed by the atmosphere through which it passes. If light passes through a foggy sky, it is still light. You see it perhaps with a little less intensity because of the fog, but it's still just all there. A little bit of light doesn't come through the fog, and a lot of light goes through the sky when there's no fog. It's always totally 100% there. Now, we have the ability to have the perception to understand what light is, if we want to. We have the ability to perceive what the sunlight is, or what the light of the bulbs, looking up at the bulbs that are in our lamps, and we think to ourselves, that's light. And we have devices that register the intensity of the light. But the intensity of the light has nothing to do with the light. The light has nothing to do with what it passes through. The light has nothing to do with the fact that you can divert it, or you can make it run through a snake in the water, a glass snake, and have it be just as powerful when it comes out the other end as it was when you put in it. The light is always the same. Now, it's not a big deal, but it's something for us to think about. Because we have the attitude that just because things appear a certain way, that they are a certain way. Just because light appears to be diluted, that we have a rheostat on it, we turn it down in its strength or up in its strength. Just because we run the light through water, just because when you have a mirror, or you're looking through the water at a fish down below, and you spirit the fish here, and the fish is over there, because the water makes it appear that it's in a different place. It's always the exact same place. It's always pure. It's always ideal. It's always wonderful. Inside of each one of us is light. Inside of each one of us is the purest of light. We are the light of the world. We are that light. Now, you say, well, what is this light that you're looking at outside of yourself? What is that light that you're looking at that comes from the sun? What is that light you're looking at that's coming from a light bulb, or you're at the sports arena, a sports stadium, and the light's in hundreds and millions of watts, you know, or is it amps? I think it's watts, yeah. Hundreds of millions of watts that's coming through. Wow, that's bright. You look up at the light and you don't even see the light fixture because it's so bright. And the light fixture is a long distance away from you, but you cannot see it because the light is so bright. Now, is that light any different from the sunlight or the 60-watt bulb you have over your chair? Is that light any different than the match that's glowing or the candle that's not glowing? No. Is that any different? No. It's the same wonderful, beautiful, ever-present, ever-the-same light. Okay, now, we have within us, as we have spoken so many times over the years, we have within us a beautiful receptor. And we call it our inner diamond. And our inner diamond observes what's going on in the world. Our inner diamond observes what's happening around us. And because the inner diamond gets dust on it, or corruption on it, it does not observe as clearly as it can. Now, because we cannot perceive the light as perfectly as it is, does that mean the light is not perfect? The light is always absolutely perfect. We want to make our ability to perceive it more constant or more perfect. Now, how do you develop your ability to see the light? Well, you say, I can see the light, I can see the light, I can see the light. And you say, well, that's just a silly affirmation, and that surely isn't going to get us any results. Or is it? What is it that we admire most about Mozart, besides the fact that he has marvelous music that he's produced? We admire most about Mozart that he was perfect in his creation of his music and his composing. He never used an eraser. He never had to erase an improper attitude, improper note that he wrote down. Now, can you say the same thing about yourself? That you never have to erase a bad thought? Erase that thought. I'm unhappy. No, forget that. I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm poor. Forget that. I'm sick. Forget that. I'm well. You see, we cannot have this duality within us, because with duality, we just have more duality. And is that what you want? Is that what you want, the imperfections of life, or do you want the perfections of life? Do you want to have abundance as yours? Then you stay with it 100%. Do you want the light to shine upon you always? Believe in it. I'm on the airplane and I'm looking across the aisle, and I have turned on the light above my seat, and I'm reading very comfortably. And I see these people sitting over there reading books. And the light outside has gone down, the evening has come, and they haven't turned on their overhead light. And they haven't turned on any lights around them. And they're reading with this no light. Now, how can they do that? And they're thoroughly enjoying it, totally unaware that the light has disappeared, because they are so involved in the book and its content. They really see with a light that we cannot see, because that light is ever present and it's ever there. Now, what do they want to see? They want to see the words on the page. And they take Art's course in speed reading, and they read the whole page in one little glance. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And they know by page and line where any of the items of information are. Now, how can you do that? How can you do that? How can you make light appear where there is no light? How can you make a book appear to be legible to you in the dark? And yet you can. You can. When you walk out of the house at night, your eyes are adjusted for a brighter light. And you go out there and it's dark, and you can't see a thing. You carefully walk along, if you walk at all. But after you wait a few moments, not too long, your eyes acclimate to the darkness, and your eyes acclimate to the darkness, and your eyes acclimate to the darkness. No. What do they acclimate to?
The light.
The light. They acclimate to the apparent invisible light. There is more light in our skies than we know. The moonlight, the sunlight, the starlight. All this light that is so bright and so visible. I have seen, when I was a kid, I used to study the stars, and we had telescopes and all that sort of good stuff, and we had books on stars. We take the book on the stars, and we'd be reading the book on stars, and we look in the telescope. We look back at the book. Dark night, no flashlight. You can't turn a flashlight on. You turn a flashlight on a book, then you look at the telescope and you can't see again. So you just adjust. You just adjust to looking through the telescope and then reading your book to check out what you wanted to check. And you can do it. You can do a lot of things. And you don't have to be blind. You think blind people are blind? They can see. Do you know that you can see through your skin? You can see through your toes. You can see through your nose. You can see through every part of your body. Your body is one great receptor of impressions, of vision, of light. You can. Now, you say, oh, come on now. Yes. Interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's true. It's true. Now, do blind people sense when other things are in it? They're a little walking stick. If a blind person ever trains himself to walk with a walking stick, he is going to truly be blind. He'll be dependent on how his senses can react to the walking stick, not how his senses can react to what is there, to being sensitive to the total universe. Now, I'm going to carry that a step further. A blind person is sensitive through his skin, through his, I don't like to use the word charisma there, but it's a charismatic type of attitude within his being, to know where everything is. But the blind man is not blind. He sees through the vision of his being that we don't even know about. I was with Thelma Moss doing research at UCLA in Los Angeles, and we were studying blind people. We were studying Carilion photography, and one of the students she brought into the class was this woman who was a mature woman, totally blind, and she had her seeing eye dog, and she asked us not to play with the dog because she wanted the dog just to be sensitive to her. Don't go loving my dog. Don't go getting excited about my dog. And my dog's a very friendly dog, you know. And so we didn't. It's hard not to because the dog was so friendly. And then she sat at the table, and I was one of those who sat up there with her. And Thelma Moss put before her 12 sheets of construction paper. That's the kind of paper you'd use in school when you're doing things as a kid, you know, pasting and cutting and stuff like that. And the color was, you know, through the paper. And then she asked the lady, she said, please tell us the color of each sheet of paper that you're touching. Purple, red, brown, green, yellow, lavender, you know, all sorts of stuff. And then she came to white. And she says, I don't know what this is. And then she came to black, and she says, I don't know what this is. She could not tell black and white because black has all color in it, and white has all color in it. And it was no distinguishable color. She couldn't do that. And then Thelma Moss said to her, all right, you are a brilliant woman. You know all these colors. Now, I want you to tell me which is black and which is white. You can create some sort of a criteria within your thinking that tells you what these colors are, black and white. You know, that the black has some sort of a, not a mugginess about it, but some sort of an intensity about it. And the white has some sort of a lack of intensity about it. You know, see, those are things that we can conceive of. But now, what she really saw in her mind was not the lack of intensity or the intensity. What she really saw, she trained herself to see white and black. She merely had to include those criteria in her thinking system, which she did, and she was able to tell us which was black and which was white. Now, not at first. While we were there, she was training, because we put the white and black at all sorts of strange places, and of course, right away she knew it wasn't the regular color, but she had to know which it was, black or white. And it was quite instructive to us, because you see, she was able to create her own inner vision to know what she was looking at. You and I have the ability to create our inner vision, because that one light, which we are, radiates through our life and our body and our being, and we can have it brilliant so we can read in the dark. Or what's the thing about this iPhone and iPod? Stupid thing. You look at it and the type size is something like 8 or 9 point, and you can read it clearly. You can read it perfectly. It's stupid. Now, why can't we read everything that's that kind of cut? Because we have taught ourselves we can't. We have taught ourselves that we do not have the capacity to do that. But yet, when you look at your iPod or your iPhone, and you look at your tiny screen, you look at the tiny screen of that one little one like you have there, and we have that one too, the iPod Nano, and well, what happens? You have a little screen there that's, what is it, 1 3/4 inches by maybe 1 inch, and you're looking at a movie on there. Now, if someone were to tell you you're going to watch a movie on a screen that size, you'd say, boy, you've got to have rocks in your head. No way. You don't have the ability to concentrate and to perceive the variable colors and the variable action. Well, I watched the Dog Whisperer on there, several of them. Clear as a bell, sharp as a whistle, beautiful as could be, just wonderful. No, it's just a matter of perception. I was told that I can do it. That's just normal. And you don't need glasses. You could do it. Now, another step. I bought a pair of glasses many years ago, and there were two lenses. And on those two lenses, they're a little piece of black plastic. They're little tiny holes drilled everywhere, all over the plastic, equidistant from each other. Little tiny holes. And you look through those glasses, and you can read the finest type. And you can see the perfect, most perfect delineation. Now, why could you do that? Your concentration was so perfected by those holes. You were looking through those holes. And you saw perfection. You saw, and I still have the pair around here someplace in one of our drawers, and you have it too. But I saw it just the other day, and it's fantastic. Now, yes, Art, when you take your hand and make a telescope out of it, can you see something on a distant hill that you can't see otherwise? Can you see something close up that you can't see otherwise? You know, can you read because you're making a tiny focal point? Yes, you can. Yes, it's so fantastic and so beautiful and so easy. But you see, we have within us the multiple genius that we haven't begun to use. We have within us the ability to utilize who we really are. And who we really are is one-pointed geniuses. When we are not one point, we're not geniuses, we're not expressing the magnificence of what we are. But once we become one point, once we become so focused, so focaled, so focalized on what we're doing, then anything is possible to us.
Yes. Everything is possible.
And it makes it so beautiful. Think on those things.
Thanks.
It's kind of a nice idea, but just remember that the light is always the same. Whether it's right at the sun, at that tremendous heat source, and at that tremendous, what do you call it, amplitude that the light is, and how it is on a very dark night. Really. When I walk out of here at night, and there's no lights on, there's no moon, there's no stars, and I walk away from the house, and it's black, and old busybody, old Ingeborg, let me turn the light on for you. Well, don't do that, please. I want to quickly adjust to the light, and you turn the light on, I can't see again, you know. I got to readjust again. I can walk 10 feet from the house, now I got to readjust again. Don't do that, you know. Turn the lights off rather than on. And then, as I walk away, I can see beautifully, perfectly. And if I say to myself, I'm going to stub my toe, I stub my toe. If I say to myself, I walk perfectly and beautifully, I never stub my toe. And it's very easy to do. You can stub your toe over a little rise in the dirt because you're walking along and you bump that little rise because you didn't raise your foot high enough, because you didn't see it mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's wonderful. Try it out tonight. When you're giving yourself your energy massage, just look around you with your dark room and see all the things that you can see. Turn off all the night lights and all the lights from your computers and all the lights from your lamps and what have you, and be amazed at how much you can see without light, because you are the light of the world. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.